Should have brought my Bible up. Okay, good morning. The reading today is going to be taken from Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. And this was the suggested reading from Operation Agri this morning. So it goes, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of those little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." So, it's my absolute pleasure this morning to talk to you during our harvest celebrations. And it kind of got me thinking as I was praying while writing this sermon about how blessed we are. And I wonder, within this church, how often we as individuals count our blessings. I know for a fact that I don't count my blessings enough. I'm quite often watching the TV or getting breaking news alerts on my phone or seeing what's going on in the world, and I quite often count the amount of things that are going wrong in my life and in the world. But I don't often count my blessings. But the thing that I really want to drum home right at the start of this talk this morning, and the thing that we can kind of see looking at the table in front of us, is that we are all, in Canterbury, we are all incredibly blessed. We are all incredibly fortunate that God has placed us here. In fact, if you arrive here on a Sunday and you are a student, I can almost personally guarantee you lunch. That's how blessed we are. So too often, we are quick to count our gripes, but forget to count our blessings. In John 1:16, we read, "Out of his fullness we have received grace in replace of grace already given." Or actually, my preference is from the message version, which says, "We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift." I really like this version because it really strikes home the point that everything we have, everything that we are, is a gift from God. And because of that, I believe we have a responsibility to take the passage that we read this morning really seriously, to do the little things. Because we're guests here. We're receivers of gifts. So to be godlike, we must pass on these gifts to others. We must share, even if all we've got to offer is a small glass of water. And the other thing is, this passage today, it states that if we do these good acts, we will not lose this reward. It says not lose the reward. It says it like that because we already have the reward through Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be giving. We're not giving to be rewarded. Jesus isn't giving us a cheat code to salvation. That's already assured through Christ Jesus. But what it is saying is that God, Jesus, really does take note of these small acts of kindness and all these acts that bring us closer to God. So, harvest for me is a time for reflection, a time of celebration, a time of thanksgiving, and most importantly, bear with me because it's a bit of a tongue twister, a time to reflect on how thankful we are and to celebrate that we have enough that we are able to give. This display is wonderful, and it really does symbolize the generosity and the generous people that we have in this church. But today I really want to kind of drum home, as the old slogan goes, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. The same is true of harvest. Giving, generosity, that's for life, not just for harvest. And as Christians, as disciples of God, and as stated in the passage, we have the privilege, and it is a privilege, to support those less fortunate than us. And even if we do that, even if we give out everything, we won't lose our reward through Jesus Christ. It's another blessing to add to our very long list of blessings. So in this passage in Matthew, it talks about giving even a cold cup of water to one of those little ones. It really strikes me, that message, that Jesus isn't talking about some grandiose big gesture. It doesn't seem like it's something that should be significantly life-changing or life-altering. It isn't give up all your possessions and come with me, as we see in Luke. He simply says, even if you give a cold cup of water, you will not lose your reward. A small act of kindness goes a long way. In the resources for this week's service, in the Operation Agri pamphlets, there was a line that really resonated with me. And it says this, it says, service to Christ is not about numbers, but is about the acts of kindness. I'll repeat that again. Service to Christ is not about numbers, it is about acts of kindness. That's a big part of what this is about today, a big part of what we're celebrating. This harvest, you are serving Christ by small acts of kindness. And that's what serving Christ is all about. And it's not always easy. I think I struggled a bit when preparing this sermon because of how generous this church is. Talking about kindness to a church that has shown me nothing but kindness, it kind of felt like I was writing a sermon which was preaching to the choir. And I'm so kind of overwhelmed by the serving hearts that we have here. But I still felt compelled by God to share this message, to avoid complacency. The Bible says, well, this passage says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me and welcomes the one who sent me. This is Jesus talking the truth. This is Jesus saying that when you do these serving things, you are serving Jesus. I think it is possible as Christians to become complacent. And rather than welcoming Jesus through welcoming other people, we're at risk of sending him away. I actually had a really good chat whilst preparing this sermon with somebody who said that he realised earlier in the year that he felt that the church was being tested. He pointed out that we had quite a lot of people coming through the doors that had been in poverty or who were homeless. And this was particularly around the time of Alpha. This person, he recognised this time as a test of character about how we as a church treat those in need. He, amongst others, made those individuals welcome. But if we are truly to be blessed by God, we must continue in this vein when called upon and support these people in a Christ-like way. And really, to drum this message home, I want to talk to you about an experiment that happened in the 70s, which was called the Good Samaritan Experiment. And it was done at Princeton Theological Seminary. Yeah, it's the one. So the guys in this study were all like me. They were all trainee ministers. They were all in the Christian vocation to live for God. Now, they were split into two groups. One group was going to a talk on, well, they were going to talk on the Good Samaritan. The other on their Christian vocation. And it was set up so they were in a meeting beforehand and then had to rush to get to their next talk. Now, as you all know, the Good Samaritan is about helping people in need, about a small act of kindness. Now, between the meeting and the presentation, these students were going to rush across, and they were given different levels of rushing. But an actor was placed in the middle who was hurt on the floor. And the researchers really wanted to determine how many in this Christian vocational ministry would stop and help this person on the floor. And there were different levels of rush. So those that were most in the rush, I wonder what percentage you think stopped. Any guesses? 50 is high. Higher than 5, less than 20. Only 10% of those going to do a talk on the Good Samaritan stopped to help somebody in the road. Now, there's lots of critiques to this study. Andrew ran through a lot of them with me in the office the other day. But the point I'm trying to make is that even though they were very aware of the Good Samaritan and they were called into the Christian vocation, they still didn't act according to what they were going to preach. They acted like the Levites in the story himself. Doing and saying are two very different things. And I really pray that we take a lesson from this illustration. What we say in here, how we act in here, is redundant, pointless, meaningless, if we do not act it out there. Don't forget the little things Jesus called on us to do, as even the smallest things are important to him. The sermon's about to take a turn. So I have a slight phobia of xylophones. I shared this phobia with my new colleagues this week over lunch. But actually it was quite convenient because it reminded me of an old school play. The provenance of my phobia. I'll let you know what happened, was I fell off the stage as a six-year-old, shortly followed by a xylophone. And ever since then, I've had this phobia, this fear of this particular musical instrument. Now, the play that I was acting in, I was actually the lead character, was called The Old Russian Shoemaker. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. It's a Christmas production. And basically, in this story, the story goes that the old Russian shoemaker was visited by Jesus in a dream. And Jesus said to him, "You're going to be visited by me tonight. Be ready." So the old shoemaker, he rushed to make sure he had food, drink, warmth, and gifts for Jesus. And decided that as a shoemaker, he was going to make shoes in every size, just so he made sure he had the perfect size which would fit Jesus when he arrived. Now, throughout the evening, the shoemaker was firstly visited by a young boy. He had a threadbare coat, and he was clearly very, very cold. The shoemaker said, "Well, I had this blanket, it was ready for Jesus, but I've got other gifts for Jesus," and gave the boy the blanket. He then heard carolers at the door. They were shivering as they sang. The old man decided to give them the drinks he'd prepared for Jesus from the stove, because he still had other special gifts for Jesus. Next, he was visited by an old widow and her children. Now, the old shoemaker, he knew they were poor, so he gave them his food that he'd prepared for Jesus. He still had the many shoes that he was preparing for his special guest. So after that visit, the shoemaker went back to making his many shoes, but after working late into the night, he decided, rather disappointingly, that Jesus was not coming. "What can I do with all these shoes?" he thought, before capturing sight of the orphanage across the road. The shoemaker dropped all the shoes over to the orphanage, so that each of the children would have a warm pair of shoes for Christmas. It was only when he closed his eyes that Jesus spoke to him and said, "Thank you, kind shoemaker. I visited you last night, and you gave me warmth. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was hungry, and you fed me. And kind shoemaker, I was in the orphanage, and you came to visit me. Thank you for giving me the finest pair of shoes. Because whatever you did for all of these people, you also did for me." Now, many of you will recognize that because it comes almost directly from the parable of the sheep and goats in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. But doesn't it just resonate with how we live our lives? How often we maybe forget that actually how we behave with other people, how we act with other people, what acts of kindness we do, we are actually also doing to Christ. So when we are giving our donations this morning and giving our food to Catching Lives, we're not only helping those out in Sri Lanka or Africa or those in poverty in Canterbury, we're also serving God. We're also providing to Jesus. And the old Russian shoemaker, he didn't recognize it was Jesus he was serving, but it was. And I hope this can be an encouragement this morning. The Lord rewards generosity, but not only that, we are the ones that are blessed by it. I asked you at the start to consider your blessings. If I was to ask those at Catching Lives or Operation Agri, or even in Africa, they would answer that those that have provided these gifts are a blessing. I would also suggest, though, that when we count our blessings, that we consider those we're providing for as blessings as well, those that give us the opportunity to serve Christ in this way. And finally, why we give is important. We should not give for personal glory, but for the glory of God. As whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. In the passage from today, we are reading about serving God without shouting about it. In Matthew 6, 1 to 4, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." This to me, this suggests that it's not just the giving that is important, not just the act of kindness, but also the intent and the love that's behind it. One of the greatest ladies I ever knew, I grew up around, used to visit every sick person imaginable in our little village. She did so much. She gave up a massive amount of her time, massive amount of her money. However, at church, she was known as a grumpy, unfriendly lady, someone that many of the church members, myself included, would seek to avoid. She never shared what she was doing with anyone. The only way it was discovered that she was the most charitable person in the church was when people were visited by other people in the church and they'd mention this lady had already been to visit them. She lived what she believed, and she gave the cold cup of water and more. But she didn't do it to be noticed. She just simply did it to follow the instructions of God. She did it to serve God. There are many ways to serve God, and we have to accept, I guess, that the nature of today's society means that we do have to promote many of our charitable efforts, otherwise nobody will come. But if you do that, when we do that, we must also and always give the glory to God. Otherwise, we're just being hypocrites. So I've not had any preaching lectures yet at uni. So unfortunately, my sermon isn't the standard Baptist three-point sermon. It's a five-point sermon, which goes against all the Baptist rules from what I understand. But here's the take-home message for Harvest in 5 points. Number one, we can bless others because God has blessed us through Jesus Christ. Number two, small acts of kindness really matter. Three, it's not always easy to do these acts of kindness, but it is worth it if you consider the reward that we've already received. Number four, When we do these acts, we are serving God. And finally, we should do so to glorify God, not ourselves. I'm so grateful that I'm in such a generous and loving church. It is one of those blessings that I must always remember to count when I remember to follow that part of God's word. And this harvest, I aim to continue to pray that we all do the small things and that we serve Christ not in numbers, but in acts of kindness, this harvest period and beyond. So I'm going to pray and then... So dear Lord, thank you for the harvest. Thank you that you are the God of the harvest. Thank you for being our provider and for blessing us. And Lord, I pray that you remind us that we have a privilege, Lord, to serve you by serving others. Remind us to do that, Lord. Be with us as we do that, Lord, so that we don't lose our reward. Continue to bless us, Lord, in your very generous ways. Amen.